Today we'd like to see the title of No Other Gods Before Me in Matthew chapter 25 verse 1-46. To another was sold through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth. We'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1. In chapter 20 verses 3 and 4, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water on the earth. What do these mean in the context, and how can apply these to our lives? Question 2, in verse 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Explain Sabbath and creation in the scripture, and how can you apply it to our lives? Last question in chapter 21, verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Explain this verse with Jesus Christ in the scripture, and what can we learn from here? In the last time, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5, 6, 23 up 25. Now therefore, if you shall indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So these verses, God talked with Moses on the top of Mount Sinai for Israel people. That is the condition precedent covenant. If they would obey his voice and keep his covenant, they would be a special treasure to God above all nations, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation, which were special privileges and blessings for them. Nobody may look at the Lord, and nobody, even priests, may enter the boundary except Moses and Aaron. Then the Lord would give the Ten Commandments to Moses for Israel people in this chapter, Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1-20, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, or from slave status to free status. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image and likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. 1-21, the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are the vertical relationship between you and God, while the second six commandments are the horizontal relationship between you and others. 3 and 4 right here. In the Old Testament time, the God of pleasure was called Moloch, the god of intellect was Baal, and so on. Whatever controlled a person's heart of mind and life is a god, even if one thinks an atheist by oneself. Everyone is governed by money, power, pride, some philosophy, some ideal, some ambition, some driving force. That is the center of one's life. That master passion, that is your God. There are many gods to get the maximum number of blessings, but there is only one true and living eternal God who created the heavens and earth. You shall have only one God, excluding all the other gods. The capital Z means one exclusive God among many gods. Here, God is titled Jehovah or Yahweh is his name. Don't make any carved image to worship because he is a jealous God, not a total prohibition against carving statues. For example, God commanded two golden cherubim at the right and left ends of the mercy seat in the mostly holy place of the temple for symbol, not worship. So symbol purpose or outer purpose, and that's fine, but the two worship purpose not allows any making the sculpture or statues. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless whom take his name in vain. We should have a holy fear or expect his name and use it properly, such as in praise or worship, not in cursed foolish talk or jest. Just another way of joking. So Jesus' name as well, Jesus' name is contains Jehovah, is the Lord, the Master. Verse 8 to 11 is there contains question 2, verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed it, in other words, the serving worship day. The Sabbath means a rest, to keep. The Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. Holy in verse 8, and rested in verse 11, to Israelites through Moses. In the Old Testament time, Israelites worshipped on the seventh day, Saturday. In New Testament time, eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection worshipped him on the first day of the week. To Mary, you know, on the first week. In New Testament worship, the first day, as well as the Apostle Paul had a communion service and teaching. Today, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath or the Master of the rest. That any day when your heart is in Jesus Christ is the rest day or the Sabbath. The seventh day in the Old Testament time is a shadow to the substance of Christ. So Saturday, Sunday, any day, or every day, maybe the Sabbath, like Paul. Practically, for human physical body, one day need a breaking day from the normal routine days, such as relaxing, swimming, shopping, short journey, errands, solitude, like Jesus, or whatever in verse 11. The Lord made the heavens and the earth. Then the verse 11, the made word is Asa, rather than the created in Genesis 1 is Bara. Asa means something from existing materials, while Bara means something from nothing. Hereby, although the creation literally interpreted as one day is little 24 hours, just as a young earth theory, a gap between Genesis 1, Genesis 1 and 2 could be millions of years when angels could have been created, and so fallen angels, Satan, the serpent in Genesis chapter 1, would have come. It's plausible for the gap theory as well as the Young theory. So all cross-reference right here. So here, one example I want to read solitude. Jesus here, that is Jesus in a show. Right here, Matthew chapter 6, 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, now, whenever evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. Jesus was alone on the land. So here, alone, lonely time is needed that. That's example. We need a physical body, certain relaxing time, you know, the weekly is needed that. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So that is a blessing, the long life. To honor parents is the first priority, commandment of the horizontal relationship between you and others. It means to obey your parents in the Lord, unless your parents are against him, his word, or the scripture. If the vertical relationship is right up, the horizontal relationship is rightly balanced. If you love God mostly, you may love others as yourself. Otherwise, it wouldn't work in the balance. So cross-reference right here. So Matthew 22, Jesus gave two greatest commandments. Ephesians 6:1, you know, that is in the Lord, you know, you obey in the law. Then is giving, you know, bless, you know, long life. 13 and 14, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. The Lord contains not only the work part, but also heart of mind part. Jesus pointed out the heart part about his lust for her, the committed adultery with her in his heart. Pharisees, the strictest sect of Judaism, disregarded the heart part for their righteousness. So therefore, we should not be like, you know, Pharisee righteousness. Paul, as a former Pharisee, discovered even if he has he had the will to keep the law. He had the present tense, it's okay. He had no power to perform it in his flesh. Nothing good is in the flesh, but there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, working according to the Spirit to be able to perform the righteous requirement of the Lord, even the heart of mind part with the work parts. So basically, the heart of mind part is the importance. Then, that's the verse 16 up to 17. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. To bear false witness means to lie in court. You should not lie, even for the glory of God, as the Lord, because it is impossible for God to lie. To covet is to wish to have what another has. Coveting often works together with envy. Those are the flesh's fruits. Any possession of a material or perishable things never makes us happy for long. So contentment is one of the best characteristics upon thankable heart for the satisfaction of a minimal material necessity. That's in Hebrews 6, verse 18. Verses 18 up to 20. Now all the people witnesses the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of a trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear maybe before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Here, God speaking in this awesome display of the thundering, the lightning, flashes, and so on. It's the supernatural way rather than the natural way, such as quietly speaking. In the heart, in a still small voice in the heart, was his best way to accomplish his purpose to test the Israelites not to sin here. God may choose, however, whatever he wants, as he pleases. Here, fear is a flesh fear of torment, or die in verse 19, sin in verse 20. But perfect love, or agape love, cast away the flesh of fear. Here is not holy fear, the beginning of the knowledge of wisdom. 1 John 4:18, close reference right there. 22 up 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, this you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me. Gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of the earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offering and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place you will record my name. I will come to you, and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of a stone, you shall not build it of a hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. Making an altar of earth, God warned not to make any statues to worship. Later, Aaron made a golden calf to worship, while Moses received the first time the Ten Commandments from God. Further, God doesn't want our focus on God to be distracted by something else, fancy artworks, such as an altar of a hewn stone or altar with stepped stairs, rather than just an altar of earth. I really believe that a building is a convenience, but that's all. Today in Rome, there are over 900 church buildings. Many people go there to see fancy artworks, since most people are tourists, but few worshippers. God doesn't want to worship, come to over there. 1 to 11, chapter 21. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 60 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slave is due. If she does not please her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three for her, then she shall go out free without paying money. Law about slaves. The Hebrews freed from slavery the land of Egypt in chapter 20, verse 2 above, were deemed as humans, not personal property. But they could choose the slave status for servants by themselves because of poverty, debt, or free will. A bought slave was required to serve 6 years and was allowed to go out free in the seventh year without payment. A volunteer slave may go out free any time. A married slave may go out free with his wife in the seventh year. A slave who received a wife from his master may go out free by himself. But if the slave wanted to live with his family and with his master, he may choose to keep on the slave status forever. Instead of going out free by himself, by doing as he and his master go to the judges, before whom his master pierces his ear, the sign of a slave forever by choice. Then he may live with his master and his family forever. Here, number one, the judges in other Exodus 22:8-9 are the Elohim, the Hebrew word in the original scripture. It means gods. Each god controlled each person. In this sense, everyone has a god. Also, everyone has been created in God's image. and had been God's child in the first place, but died because of Adam's sin. This is Jesus' answer to the accusing Jews for the unity between Jesus and his father. Number two, to pierce an ear is a sign to put himself to a slave by his choice. In David's messianic prophecy, the phrase, "My ears you have opened," was fulfilled as Jesus Christ, who was sent by the Father to do the Father's will, not his own will. Or cross-reference right here. Then verses 12 up to 27. "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. If a man contend with each other, and one strikes to the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die, but is confined to his bed. If he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man beats his male or female servants with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property. If a man fight and hurt a woman with a child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposed on him, and he shall pay as the judges determined. But if any harm follows them, you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, bone for bone, wound for wound, strike for strike. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. For if he knocks out tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth." Law about personal injury. Generally, the death is for death, but accidental killing or manslaughter may escape to a place where he may flee, for example, refuge or alt. Premeditative slayer is subject to death penalty, even from his altar. For example, Joab, who was the captain of David and the intentional slayer of both Abner, the former captain of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and Amasa, the former captain of Absalom, was subject to death penalty even at the altar by Solomon. One who slays or kisses a parent is subject to death penalty. A kidnapper is subject to death penalty. During mutual contention, an injured person shall be reimbursed until full recovery by the strike. Peter, who slays a slave, is subject to punishment. Unless a slave survives 1 or 2 days because the foreign slaves were deemed as a personal property, or hurt causes the miscarriage of a pregnant woman, subject to punishment by her husband. And to reimbursement by judges. Any harm is subject to its equal penalty, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and so on. A master who strikes his slave's eye or tooth, which is lost, is subject to let him go free. Now, verses 28 up to 36. Law about animals. If an ox goes a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. But if the ox tended to thrust with its horn in times past, and it has been made known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him, whether it has a gold son or a gold daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. If the ox goes a male or a female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Right here, 28:32. If an ox goes strikes bloodily a person to death, the ox shall be killed and not be eaten, acquitting the owner's liability. But the owner who has a previous knowledge of vicious ox is subject to death penalty. But if the dead person's representative accepts the payment for the loss of life, its owner may redeem his life by paying whatever imposes. The same law is applied to a minor victim. If an ox goes a slave, its owner will pay the master of the slave 30 shekels of silver. The ox shall be killed. The price of a gold slave is 30 pieces of silver, which was prophesied by Zechariah from Jeremiah, thrown into the house of the Lord for the potter, fulfilled by Judas Iscariot through the chief priest. So that one cross-reference right here, 33 up to 36. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to the owner, but the dead animal shall be his. If one man's ox hurts another's ox so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that ox tended to thrust in time past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. If an animal falls in an open pit, the owner will fix the pit, pay to the animal owner for its full price, and own the dead animal. If an ox kills If an ox kills another ox, the owner shall deliver ox and divide the sold money as well as the dead ox. But if the former owner knows his vicious ox previously, he shall pay the full price for dead ox and own the dead ox. In the time of the Old Testament time, it was a very, very fair and just law, revealing just God. But God's law to his people in the New Testament time through Jesus' grace is different in the dispensation of the fullest of times. So we covered all three questions. Continue to keep on prayer for second edition book is come continually. Let more people know the knowledge of God. Keep on prayer and love for the unborn babies, widows, and Ukraine in perilous times. Right here, all story right there. So if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, please read this gospel, good news.